Welcome to the Independent Brokers Podcast. Your host, Joseph Goslin, interviews independent real estate brokers from around the country, asking about all the things we all want to know: recruiting, commission breakdowns, lead generation, technology tools, and more. And now to the show.
Welcome, everybody, to the Independent Broker Podcast. And today, we have a very special guest from San Antonio. I like having Texans. Why don't you introduce yourself, tell our audience who you are, where you're from, what is your brokerage look like today, and how'd you get to real estate?
Okay, sure. So my name is Nadine Long. I am a real estate broker here in San Antonio, like you said. The name of my company is called Wealth Partners Realty Group, and we have been established here in the city for 2 years. Actually, it'll be 2 years on the 31st. I'm actually in the process of renewing all of my interesting educational stuff to make sure that my agents, they have a broker, they have somewhere to hang their license. But I have been in real estate for a total of 8 years. I started off wholesaling real estate. I was with a wholesale brokerage. So that's my entryway into real estate. Before then, I was a social worker. So I took a quick turn into real estate. It was really something that I know God had a plan for. I'm a firm believer in my faith, and He leads and guides me. And when we made the decision for myself to come into real estate, it was with a wholesale brokerage. I didn't choose that avenue. It was what chose me. Like I said, I was working in the social service sector, and there was a child death. And so I always told my husband that if in the event that happened, I would get into real estate. And so that happened. So I immediately started putting in applications, and I didn't really know where to turn because I didn't have my license. So I did more like new home sales consultants and things like that to jump in. And the wholesale brokerage called me. They said, if I can get my license within a year, if I can get my license within a month, that they would pay for my licensing. So I did. I took some time off after investigating the death of the child, and got my license and started immediately. I worked my way up, and I think I did very well only because I was the only woman that they had hired nationwide. That was the first woman. And then I was also the first Black woman. So they really wanted to change the dynamic and the culture of the company, because in wholesaling and investing, it's a male-driven, male-dominated industry. So I think I just did well because I was a fresh new face. I didn't know anything. And so I think, honestly, that investors just wanted to work with me because I was just a new, young, fresh face in the industry. And then I just never turned back from there. I started doing wholesaling. I ended up leaving the company and learned how to do it on my own after teaching, because they did teach me a lot. So I ended up working with a lot of my investors on the listing side now, because I've been wholesaling. I was working on my broker's behalf to buy real estate, put it under contract, and then sell it for a higher price to my investors. But I could not work their listings once they had been renovated. That was the only caveat. I was specifically working for my broker at that time. So when I left the company, I was autonomous. I started working with now my investors, who now wanted me to list their homes. So then I became a listing agent to my investors. And then having those listings then brought buyers. And then I became almost like my sphere's go-to person for solutions. So because I knew, okay, I know how to stop a foreclosure by putting something under contract, because I did that for investors, I would use that knowledge and help people that were in distress situations. So I became like the go-to for problem solving when it came to real estate within just my sphere, like my church, my friends, my family. If they knew somebody that was in a troubled situation, they would call me. So that's where my business grew. And then I just never looked back. I did end up hanging my license at a flat fee brokerage. Then I went to EXP for a little bit and went back to my flat fee brokerage until God showed me that, hey, to be a leader and to do the things that I want you to do, you have to be autonomous. So I ended up going and pursuing my broker's license.
Yeah, that's quite a journey. That's for sure.
It is.
But I think the one thing that you got to is probably the best position to be, and that is the problem solver. Mm-hmm. Right? When the community around you knows that if I have a problem, I got to go to Nadine, then that puts you in the best possible position.
Right.
We're recording this late March of 2024. And right after the whole NAR lawsuit, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
Yeah.
And I personally believe there's going to be a mass leaving the business kind of situation. because there's a lot of people that don't bring any value to their customers. If all you can do is open a door, then the industry doesn't need you and the customers don't need you. And who's going to pay 2-3% out of the hundreds of thousands of dollars the houses are worth just because you opened the door?
Right.
So positioning yourself as the problem solver, as the go-to person, that's how you bring value. That's how you become that leader, like you said, in the community, that person that everybody wants to know and want to work with.
Yeah.
So that's fantastic that your path led you to that position.
Yeah.
So how does your brokerage look like today? You're on your own, no more flat fee brokers, no more EXP. Mm-hmm. How many agents do you have? How do you structure it? Do you have teams or is it all flat? Just what is it going?
So right now last year I had 13 agents. My first full year in business, I had 13. Going into this year, I decided to dwindle down a little bit. I really wanted to focus on the value that I was able to bring. So I ended up going down to 7. And so I'm happy with the 7 that I have. The 7 that I have are all specific. And I think that's just where the building is for this particular brokerage, what we're doing. But I have a commercial agent. She dibbles a little bit into residential, but her primary focus is commercial. Then I have somebody that really focuses in more on new construction. Then I have somebody that understands the investment side and will do the investment side, the wholesaling, the numbers game, because it's a big, you have to be really solid on your numbers when it comes to the investing and wholesaling. Mm-hmm. And so with that being said, everybody has their specific role right now. Of course, if they want to do something else, I'm not limiting them to that. But my goal is for each one of them to perfect their craft and their niche, because you can't, in this industry now, especially, it's hard to be a master of everything. You really have to know your worth and know your value and know your business so that people can trust you and know that you are the expert in that field. So my goal is focus my efforts on really building them up in the areas that they want to strive, to build their strength in. Our commission structure we do have a mentorship program because I do like newer agents. A lot of agents that have been licensed for a while, they're set in their ways. Like myself, I like things done a certain kind of way. I like my documents to look a certain kind of way. Just structure, my processes are really important. That makes me stand out. So I want to make sure that anybody that's representing Wealth Partners has a good start. There's not any, you know, bad habits that need to be dismissed before starting. So I personally like newer agents. So we do have a mentorship program. And so for the first 3, it's on a 60-40 split. Anything that comes into the agency or that we hand out as far as leads, it is a 50-50 split. Our traditional structure is anywhere between an 85 teen or an 80-20 split.
Okay. And is there any cap on the split?
I don't have a cap. Things may change. I can say things may change in the future. And I've told all my agents this, that we are new. And so that I have to be aware of things that change in the future. Like right now, there's about to be some huge changes. And it's got to be mutually beneficial for all. If I'm taking all of the risk as the broker in charge, commission splits might change a little bit. So I don't know what the future looks like. I'll really have to see how this all pans out. That's where it is right now.
Yeah, no, I get that. And it's a different world going to be in the next at least year or so on the residential side.
Yeah.
So we have both residential and commercial. And I told my residential agents, it's like, really at the end of the day, that this lawsuit is just going to change the residential world to work like the commercial world is already working.
We
don't have an MLS system for the commercial side of things. And when you see a listing on CoStar or LoopNet or Craigslist, nobody tells you what the buyer's commission is going to be.
Right.
So it's not the end of the world. There's no need to panic.
It's just communication. You have to now communicate and show your worth and negotiate. You have to be almost a master negotiator now, because now I've got to negotiate my value to my client, but also I got to negotiate so that I can get paid on the seller side. And I got to know how to do that.
Yeah. And I think in the next year or so, we're going to have a lot of turmoil and mess, right? It's gonna be a mess because I don't know about you, but my Facebook feed is now full of people saying, yeah, we don't have to pay 6% anymore. And it's okay, so you think the buyer should pay their agent 3%? Yes. So you will pay your agent when you buy the more expensive house, say the 3%? Wait, it doesn't go both ways. It either this or another, but it's going to take a little while until it settles down.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It will settle one way or another. It will either settle to the point where we're back to where we started, just not proclaimed on the MLS.
Right.
Right. Or we're going to get into, and I don't think that's the more realistic scenario. I think that's the least realistic scenario. We'll get where people pay their agents. But in that case, people will be worse off because most sellers sell to upgrade.
Yeah.
They sell to buy something more expensive. So if instead of paying the 6% on your sale and not paying anything on when you buy the more expensive one, now you'll pay 3% here and 3% here, you'll pay more.
Yeah. So
that's why I think that's the least realistic scenario, but we'll see how it goes. We're probably going to have a little purge, right? Yeah. In terms of how many agents are going to leave the business.
And I'm happy about that.
And it's not a bad thing.
Because that means other people that are really working on their craft that really have that value. Now there's more opportunity for us to thrive. Correct. So I'm okay with that. I'm not scared. I'm not worried about it. I know my worth. I know my value. I think that I can articulate it very well. And it's my job as a leader of this agency to make sure that they know the same thing.
Exactly. And again, if all you do for a client is open the door, then you don't deserve the 3%. It's that simple. So you gotta have more value. You gotta bring more value. You gotta show your client that you bring them more value.
Yep.
It's as simple as that. And as soon as people see the value, they'll be happy to pay for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
What does it look like for recruiting, right? Do you actively recruit, or when you recruited, how did it look like? Because that's one of the questions we get from everybody is, what do you do for recruiting? How do you recruit? How do you screen and so on?
Man, I do not want to recruit. However, I say that, let me not cut off my blessing. What I can say is that the reason why within the first year, I didn't recruit at all. Every last one of my agents came to me because they just liked how I did business. Either they were on the other end of a transaction, or I had trained them in some shape, form, or fashion on the wholesale side or in some various form of real estate. And they just, I guess they just knew that I could teach them, so to speak. That's how all of my agents came. All of my agents came and said, hey, Nadine, I got my license because of you. Or, hey, Nadine, I'm thinking about getting my license, but when I get my license, I want you to be my broker. I would even interview them and suggest that they would interview other brokerages. And they all came back, which is a blessing. And it really said a lot, or at least told me a lot about myself. However, what I didn't do is I didn't understand that although they wanted to be mentored by me, would they really be a good fit for my team?
Yeah.
For my structure. So although I invited anybody that wanted to come and I didn't recruit, there was still a responsibility on my part to make sure that they were still a good fit, because I still have to pour into them. I still have to give them my time. And if they're not a good fit, then I am essentially wasting my time and I could be potentially wasting their time. So I started asking questions a little bit more. What is your why? Making sure that their why tied into my mission and my vision for the company. If I saw, and I'll give an example, that, hey, their why is because they just wanted to use the funds to promote another business. That's great, but that doesn't come in line with my why. My why is to help people. And so that why is really to help you. Now, that's not anything bad about that, and I'm not knocking it, but then that means you're not a good fit for my team. Because my team, we are more client focused. We want to help people. But if your reason for being in this business is really just to help you promote yourself in some other area of your life, then this, you probably need to go to a flat fee, go somewhere else and have that kind of structure. So I learned how to ask questions that made sure that at least I understood where they stood within the company. So that was something that I had to kind of restructure. I had to really understand what their why was and see if I could fit them. And also understanding their personality type. I had a situation where she was a great young lady, excellent, but I felt like she needed more of a structured system. If you're coming from the corporate world, you need that, hey, I come in at 9 and I have these action items that I need to do to keep you in the mode of doing business, where here it's not like that. It's really more of a one-on-one type mentorship. We identify what it is that your skill set will allow you to thrive in, the lead generation that works best for you. And then we work on a plan for that. But essentially, you're executing your own plan that I help you develop as your leader in the industry. It didn't seem that was really what she needed. She really needed something that she could fold herself into, like a larger team that they come in and they do office hours and things like that. So although I knew that I could help her, I didn't feel like this was a good fit for her. I felt like she would not thrive with me. Yeah. I felt like she needed to be in another setting in order to thrive. So it also just boils down to may not be a good fit for me, but man, am I a good fit for this other person? Or do I see that this person, my leadership style is not going to work for her and for him, and it's going to inhibit him from growing? I don't want to do that either. I don't want to be the catalyst to you not growing. So I'm just learning that not only does it have to be a good fit for me, we have to be a good fit for you too.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of people that get into this business, you could call it, for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
It's like, I watch HGTV and it looks easy. One of the challenges in our industry, if you ask me, is that the barrier to entry is so low. Mm-hmm. In the state of Texas, all you have to do is 18 and have about $350 for the online classes.
Mm-hmm.
And then boom, you're a real estate agent. But nobody prepares you. Nobody tells you that this is a business. Like you said, I tell my recruits and my agents, you're not coming to work for my business. You're coming to work on your business. I'm just here to support, to build the support and the infrastructure to help mm-hmm. you be successful. But if you don't have the mindset of building a business, then you're not going to survive. There's a reason why we have 87% drop rate in the industry in the first 5 years, right? Mm-hmm. It's because you have to build a business. And that is something that a lot of them either are not capable or not interested in doing.
So
usually my recruiting conversations are very honest.
Yeah.
And very, there's no sugarcoating, there's no cuddling. And it's, if I scared you in a 30, 40 minutes conversation, then you're definitely not going to work in our company. But it also means that you'll go to one of the big brokers and they'll tell you that everything is rainbows and lollipops just because they want the desk fees. Yeah, we don't do that over here. And I can tell you from all the independent brokers that I taught, almost none of them is doing that. They all try to have an honest, open conversation. And I do exactly what you are doing, is I encourage them to go interview with other brokers.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want a young agent that has never talked to any other broker look at me and thinks that's all there is. Look at the other options. And I want you to choose me, not to default to me.
Yeah. And one thing I do is I also send them with a list of questions that they should be asking. After they interview with me, I send them an email and I say, hey, you should check out these other options. Here are some questions that you should ask. And then let's revisit after you've checked them out.
That's interesting. What kind of questions do you tell them to ask?
Oh, it's a lot. Like, it's about 15 questions. What are your splits? What kind of culture do you have? Do you have desk fees? Do you have office space? What does mentorship look like? Is it free? There's a lot of questions because they come in not knowing what questions to ask.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to answer all of the questions that I think they would want to know. And so I just help them keep it on the top of mind what they should be asking when they're, just so they can compare after you've heard the, what sounds better to you, what works best for you. So that's where I'm at now.
Yeah, that's especially important with the young one, the young agents, not necessarily young in age, but young to the business.
Right.
You don't know what you don't know. And that's true to every industry.
Right.
Okay, awesome. So what do you guys do for marketing, lead generation, stuff like that?
So I teach all of my agents. I am not the broker. So I actually do pass out leads. All of my business is referral-based business. And I really desire to teach them how to get their business grassroots, because that's how I did it. And I feel like if I teach them how to do that, they will never falter on their business. So I'm not a proponent of buying leads. I've tried it, didn't really work for me. I'm really good at converting, but for some reason, it just did not work the several times that I tried in my 8-year career.
What have you tried?
I've tried Zillow. I've tried Realtor.com. I tried another service where it was like ads. I did, when Facebook ads were really popular in the very beginning, I did a round of those for almost like 6 or 7 months. So I teach based off of their comfortability. And I say comfortability because I want to make sure that it's tailored to their personality. So I give you an example. For one of my agents, she really wants to get involved in the investment off-market side. I thought the best way to do that is driving for dollars. You can buy leads. Yes, you can buy non-owner occupied lists and things of that nature. But the best way to do that is to drive for dollars, get out of your car, knock on people's doors, and get to know the community that you're wanting to invest in. Mm-hmm. That's the best way. You can get the properties way deeper. The conversations when you cold call later are a lot better because you haven't just cold called them. You've actually driven by the house and you can give a little bit more context. Hey, I drove by your house and I'm just wondering, looks like it's been left alone. It doesn't look like anybody's occupying it. I get a lot of response. You haven't seen it. You're just calling. No, I actually talked to your neighbor, Sandy, and she mentioned that you no longer live in the neighborhood. So that lets them know, Okay, well, this is not just a regular person. This is a person that actually does this, that she's actually been in the neighborhood. So I have, and so that's been working well for her. I have another client that she's looking to build an agent that's looking to build a portfolio. Well, not portfolio, looking to build a long-term funnel. She's starting with renters. She has been focused on renters this year because it's been a little difficult getting the buyers with the interest rates being a little bit higher. So she's really been focusing on getting renters. So I have a connection with a large property management company. And so I've gotten my team on their showing site. So they work exclusively with my team for all of the renters. So in the past 3 months, she's probably put maybe people into homes. And that's what she's going to be utilizing next year. She's already got them on a plan. She's working with the lenders to get them started right now. I have another one that wants to do more networking, community-based. So I'm also the new president for the Women's Council of SAREB here, which is San Antonio Real Estate Brokers. And so we have to do a lot of things in the community. So we're teaching the community about wealth building as it pertains to real estate, doing a lot of education on finances and budgeting and just financial literacy. And so and going to that, I'm having her come with me so that she is in the community. So I'm, again, more of a grassroots type person. So I teach based off of what my agent wants to do.
Yeah, no, that's the right way to go at it. And I do very similar things. I tell my agent, look, I've been around for a minute. I can train on a lot of things. Rope me into something, right? Yeah. For example, your agent, instead of you dragging her to your training, have her set up the training and just book your time to show up as a kind of guest lecturer, right? This way, she's the one that reaches out. She's the one that does the logistics. She's the one that have the relationship with the people that show up for the training. And then she's just leveraging your experience and your knowledge. I haven't asked earlier, but are you still in production?
I am. So I have investors that really only want to work with me. They don't want. So I'll just ask them like, hey, do you mind if I have my agent shadow me? I'll be your point of contact, but do you mind? And so I use that as opportunities to I still may pay them out like a flat fee because I'll have them do some work. I'll maybe have them do some transactional stuff. So yes, I do production. My production only looks like my investors, my repeat clients, like not just a referral client, but my repeat clients. I keep them. And then I have a book of business or my own portfolio of real estate that I manage. I also flip homes and my husband and I, we invest in real estate. So I manage that part.
Yeah. Is the plan to hand off everything that is not your own at some point?
Yes, I'm trying to. Now, everything that does come in that is not an investor that specifically wants to work with me, I do hand that off. I oversee it though. And
of
it
course,
will,
it's still your name.
Yeah. And on all those transactions, it's a 50-50 split.
Okay. That's awesome. So what is the plan for 2024, and what is the plan for 3, 5, 7 years from now? Or what do you want to grow? What do you want to be?
So I really want to be a fixture in the community for financial wellness. So not just real estate, but I want wealth partners to be known for helping the community understand the value in generational wealth and how it can be attained and how you can start now. Even if you're renting, there's ways that you can start to put money away just to understand what credit looks like. So I don't want to be focused in on just the home selling and home buying process. I'm looking for wealth partners to really be encompassed by its name. Wealth partners, we want to partner with you to build generational wealth. So there might be some services that we add to it, especially with where things are going in the real estate community. Lending is something that we want to touch on. Financial literacy and financial services is something that we also want to touch on. I don't know exactly the time frame, but I do know that we're going to add to our services. I can't say that I'm going to want to grow the agents or the amount of agents that I have. What I really want to have is partners. I really want to have partners that are really committed to the vision of building wealth through real estate and educating the community. And if that's not their goal, I don't want to partner with. So if it's just our seven that are doing that and we're, you know, doing what God wants us to do as far as the community outreach, the education, providing options for lending, providing options for real estate, I want us to be strong in that. I don't think we have to be strong in number. If God sees fit, that's great. But if it is, he can multiply with just a little.
Yeah, no, I see that. It's great to see someone that has a vision beyond just real estate and just sell it. I think you're hitting the nail on the head when it comes to, we have a real challenge in our communities, in our society today, that nobody's teaching financial literacy, not at high school, not even at colleges, not even at, we work a lot with medical professionals, physicians and dentists and so on. And it's amazing to see people that make a lot of money on their annual income, but don't have a lot of financial education. So it's anywhere from high school graduate to medical professionals.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't see that. And we do a lot of work with our investors as well to help them, educate them, work with them, help them with tax strategies and so on. Mm-hmm. That is a very important thing that you're doing.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Awesome. So let's talk a little bit on the technology side of things, right? You mentioned earlier you have a process that you like everybody to follow and so on. How does technology fall into it? Do you have any transaction management company? Do you have any other systems, CRM systems? What does your technology landscape look like?
Sure. I can say I'm not the best in this one, but it works for me right now. I do have an assistant. She helps me tremendously. So she is truly my TC, and she can be a TC for anybody that wants to use her. But my requirement is that as you first start, you have to do your first three transactions from start to finish. You cannot solicit any type of TC because I need you to know documentation. I need you to know how to do it, but you can hire her out. And the charge is for $350. So any of my agents, and I do have a couple of agents that use her. The software that I use is Dotloop right now. I cannot wait until my contract ends in June because I'm going to switch over to Jointly. And so if there's another one out there, hopefully I'll find this out. But Jointly seems like it does a lot better than Dotloop. So I've done their calls. So I really do like how it's just user-friendly on the app. Dotloop is not as user-friendly app-wise. It's always a glitch in there and it's trying to change a document and it's just too much. For my software to manage my agents as far as their transactions, I use Dotloop, but I will be switching over to Jointly. I do have a CRM. And I've been thinking about it, allowing my agents to get access to it or to make it robust, add users. And I use Follow Up Boss. I think I'm going to be changing that soon because from my understanding, Follow Up Boss was bought out by Zillow. I'm not a huge fan of Zillow. I'll figure that part out. But to be honest with you, a lot of my business comes from referral base. And so I do use MailChimp as more of a email blast to make sure that I'm staying in front. So I've had those templates set up for a couple of years now. My assistant did that for me. We sat down, I think it was during the summertime, and 3 summers ago, we built everything out, like all of our templates, as far as even my TC side, like congratulations, you're under contract, or mm-hmm. those type of things. And then my just solds, my database gets that, just listed, coming soon. So I do have my MailChimp that I do my mass emails, newsletters, that allows me to stay on top of mine. And then I have my CRM that just has every single client and kind of, so just in case I need to do a campaign, like for instance, if I'm tax season, we can protest taxes here. So every January, at the end of January, everybody gets an email that says, hey, it's tax time. Would you like to schedule a time to help protest your taxes? And I put a little Calendly link in there. So I do get appointments during that time frame, but that goes out without fail. So I know I probably need to do a better job with that. I also have told my agents, they've asked, should I get a CRM? So there's actually free CRMs out there that I encourage them to get. Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge fan. I really want to teach them how to build their own business. So I don't feel like I need to get their CRM, or they should. I don't believe that's a responsibility of the brokerage. I've been to several different, I never used their softwares. And if I did, when I left, it got shut down. So if I wasn't smart enough to take all my leads out beforehand, I'm stuck. So it was like, that's something that's proprietary that I need to have access to. So those are the systems that I use. I do, but I am also right now with a friend of mine. He's IT. He's a really good friend of mine, but he's actually helping me build out a very robust system that manages my agents, that kind of gives. And I realized, because I didn't, and being an independent broker, there's not much information out there. There's not, I wish there was like a, hey, your whole policy and procedures, like you can just go buy this somewhere. I couldn't find that anywhere to where there was something that I can buy and allow it to be my foundation. So I'm creating that. So just in case there is another independent broker, they don't have to go through the process of starting everything from scratch.
If there was only a podcast when we talk to a lot of independent brokers asking the same questions.
Yeah, it's hard. And I don't know if there is something out there. I've researched it, but I hadn't found it, but I am building something out. It has like an agent hub where my husband, he's also owner of the company, and the agents do know him. So he is sometimes like another leader. And so just in case I'm out and somebody needs to come in and take a look at an agent, say if they need to do a one-on-one with an agent, they can click on that agent's profile and it'll have all of our meetings that we've had. It'll show all of their transactions, how much production they've made. It'll have their goals. It'll have their birthday, when they started with the company, all of that information at a glance. And then it also has a transaction component where I can keep track of all of the transactions. If I want to just look at one agent, I can do that. So that way during tax time, I know exactly how much I paid out to that agent. I know every single transaction, what it looks like, the CDAs that are attached to it. I'm also doing a training. It's an 8-week training with modules attached. And it'll show me also how well they're doing with their training. Are they completing their training? It's very simple assessments at the end. Not anything too hard, but it just lets me know, hey, they are following along. And that should prompt some question and dialogue and some communication between the agent and I. So we're building that out. My hope is to have it complete by July.
Are you custom building this? Is coding all that? Okay. This is going to be an interesting journey, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So if you go back to all the past episodes of this podcast, you ask the same questions, everybody.
Yeah.
So you can hear what everybody is using and you can hear what everybody likes and don't like about what they're using.
Yeah.
So I think this could help you and anybody that listens or watches that podcast is get a feel of what is out there.
Yeah.
We talked about all the big ones and a few new ones that I've never heard about and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I will.
That's an opportunity for anybody to go back and ask. I want to be conscious of your time and just say, What would you tell a new agent that wants to join the business, not a new agent, a new broker, but they've been an agent for a few years, they're thinking about getting the broker license. Obviously, there's pros and cons, and we all chose to be an independent broker, but it's not for everybody. So what would you tell somebody, an agent that is coming in and ask you, say, hey, I'm thinking about going independent. What do you say?
I would say know exactly what you want to do. Do you want to truly be independent and not be responsible for somebody, or do you want to grow a team? Knowing the difference, because I think people just come in, and because you can be very successful and be independent and not have any agents alongside you. Sometimes I wish I could do that, but I know that's not my calling. I know I'm supposed to be in this position and help build others up. So I would say, hey, if this is something that you're going to do and your plan is to build other people up and to grow a brokerage, please understand that it takes a lot of time, a lot of dedication, and people are watching. And so if you're not mature enough to lead, don't do it, because you will be a stumbling block to others.
Yeah, that's good advice. If you could go back in time and tell younger Nadine something, a good advice, what would that be?
Start sooner. I wish I'm 8 years in and I just became a broker 2 years ago. If I could go back and talk to the young Nadine, I would say you were made to do this. God has gone forward and allowed you to do it. So don't second guess yourself. Just do it. I really wish that I would have had enough confidence in myself and what God was telling me to do, to just start at 4 years instead of waiting to 6 years.
Yeah, that is a very important piece of advice right there. Because I see a lot of agents that have been doing that for a while. They're really good at what they're doing. I just had a conversation with an agent just the other day, and he's in his fifth. He's been doing that for a long time. His wife is in the business. They're running a team, but they're under one of the big brokerages. And it's just like, why aren't you going independent? There's no reason for you guys not to be independent. You got the knowledge, you got everything else. And it's sometimes it's just like you said, it's that confidence. It's that leap of faith that sometimes you got to take in order to say, okay, I can let go of all that hand holding that I don't really need anymore and go on my own.
Right.
Awesome. Nadine, if any of our listeners wants to reach out and use you as their broker, or if it's another broker that wants to chat and brainstorm, how can they find you? And we'll put everything in the show notes, of course.
Yeah. So I would say my number is 210-570-9009. I do answer my phone, and you can always email me. It's Nadine, N-A-D-E-N-E at wealthpartnersrealtygroup.com. It's long, but it's right. wealthpartnersrealtygroup.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Nadine, for your time. Really appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure. And for you, the audience, if you want to listen to more of those podcasts, you can find us on YouTube, on Facebook, on all the social media channels. And of course, if you can give us a review, it doesn't matter if it's a 1-star or 5-star. We appreciate any feedback you might have wherever you consume your podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Amazon, and so on. Thank you so much. And we'll see you again soon. That was awesome. I learned something new. I hope you did too. And if you want to learn more from our expert, please subscribe to the channel and share with your friends.